Well, good morning, everybody. It's another day. Praise the Lord. You know, I want us to go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's been, you know, once again, Wednesday night service was a good one. And I suggest if you haven't listened to it, to go ahead and listen to it. But it put a lot of things in perspective. And I can see a lot of things that the Lord is doing and how the Lord is moving in a mighty way. And one of the things that I am seeing is that things start to rise up within ourselves. Things start to rise up and kind of come to the head. And when these things rise up and they come to the head of certain things, sometimes they can seem to be very ugly issues. Now, the cool thing about it is that the issues that kind of come up in our lives or rises up, or it's like our the weeds in our heart coming forth, the things that have not been of Him start to rise up. And it's actually a good thing. It is actually a good thing. And the reason why it's a good thing is because it's not like those things weren't there before. No, that's not the case at all. What's happening, just like in Psalm 51, where David says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean," and these things, is because hyssop was a, what's that word, expectorant? All right, inspector, and what it does is it will break up all that nasty stuff that's in your, you know, in your lungs, like kind of what's going on with me right now, as a matter of fact. But it breaks up all that nasty stuff that's going on in your lungs, and it comes out. And that stuff needs to come out. If it doesn't come out, then that can be bad for me. I mean, it can lead to pneumonia, sickness, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it could essentially kill you if you don't treat this thing and get this garbage out, right? Right? Well, it's the same thing there. See, a lot of times in the things that are going on with us is it's that this stuff has been there, you know, in our heart for a long time. It's been in our heart for a long time, but what now is finally going on is that a hyssop is being applied and it starts to break up and then it starts to come out. And when that stuff starts to come out and breaks up and comes out, all of a sudden you look at it and go, "Man, that's nasty." So to your own carnal mind, you're going, "That's nasty, man. I mean, where's that coming from?" And it's like, "Man, sorry, it's always been there, really." I mean, you're just coming to the knowledge that it's there. All right. But the cool thing is, and this is what's a big praise the Lord, is it is coming up. And then the way that we have been going and the way that we've been dealing with things has been a way, not His way. That's why those things were in there in the first place. But now what we have is these things start to come up, they start to get exposed, and we get to learn to seek who? Jesus. All right, and then we find a counsel of a better way. And quite frankly, when these things come up, they're just simply an answer to prayer. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, do whatever it takes." How many people have said that prayer? I've said that prayer, and then what happens? Stuff starts to come up. Well, praise be to God this stuff comes up, because it's a place where the Lord can take that away from you. Take that thing that will essentially kill you, and He will purge it. You'll get you can get shed of it, and then you walk in the freedom and the liberty that He has. It's a beautiful thing. But it can be a process that we go through. So I'm going to start. I think y'all have had enough time to turn to Romans 8, verse 1 there at this point. And I'm going to start in Romans 8, verse 1. says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now my highlight, and this is the point, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, the things that I'm talking about, you know, breaking up that stuff that's been in there and getting shed of it and getting rid of it and all those kinds of things, those are simply ways that we have been, you can kind of contrast it to ways that we've been walking after the flesh. We've been walking after that carnal mind, doing things our own way, or walking after pride, okay, and all these things. That's, I mean, you can essentially contrast that. And what we come to find out is those things don't work very well, okay? They don't give you liberty in Christ Jesus, but they're yet bonds of the old man, and they're bonds of the enemy, and it's just chains on you, is essentially what it is. It holds you down. It holds you back. But see, Jesus Christ paid the price for every single one of us. And he condemned sin in the flesh. And he paid that price that we can have freedom from that old man. And then now we can be walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh anymore. But see, what happens is there's kind of like a process. See, we start going around, we accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and that's not like the end of it, okay? It's not like once saved, always saved. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior tonight, and now it's all over with. No. Look, man, that is your beginning. That is your beginning. And what happens is the Lord is faithful and he is just, and he'll begin, and because you have not been walking after the Spirit but after the flesh, he is faithful and just to kind of show you those things and those areas in your heart that are not of him. All the wrong ways that you have learned for so many years. Okay? It takes some undoing, doesn't it? It takes some washing, doesn't it? It takes some of the Lord and his Spirit to get shed of all those things, all right? What is that? That one scripture that comes into mind about the ox dung. I forget it. Maybe somebody can bring it back up to me. But the ox that treadeth out the corn, and how there's much cleanup, all right? Because, you look, man, what happens with this is that the Holy Spirit comes in and he starts kicking that nonsense out, man. He starts kicking that garbage. Everything that's not of the Lord, he starts kicking out. But there's much cleanup after all that mess, isn't there? and I'm ruining that. I remember it being preached, and I'm ruining that right now. Lord, forgive me. But look, I'm going to continue on here at this point. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You know what reminds me of in that verse right there, 5? "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit," is when in Colossians, and I think it's Colossians chapter 3, where the Lord, where Paul is writing to the Colossians there, and he's talking about what? Set your affections on things that are above, not on the things that are of the earth. All right? Set your affections on things that are above, not on the things that are of the earth. Man, you seek out what the Lord has for you. You seek out the Lord. You seek out that mind of Christ. You seek out his love, his faith, You talk about making him your Lord and Savior was what I kind of started off with. But making him Lord is actually making him Lord of your life. You elect him first to become your Lord. So when he says, go do a thing, you go do it. You go do it. Not questioning, not any of these things, man. You just go and you go do that. And you looking after the things of the new man, not of the old. See, what is it that you actually want to do? What is it that you actually want to do? I mean, do you want to go and serve the Lord? Do you want to go and be a part of his body, doing his will, being about his thing? Look, if you are about that, then praise God. Get on board. Let's go. Amen. And what happens is the Lord, as the process that I was talking about, will start getting shed of that unbelief that goes that rises up so much. You know, I heard, I think it was last meeting or the other meeting the other day, is that, man, it's not the us believing we have a problem with. It's the unbelief that comes in. Remember when Jesus was talking to Jesus was talking to the father that had the son, okay, that would have demonic spirit would come over him and he'd cast himself into the fire. And these kinds of, and he'd harm himself and this demonic spirit would come. And what is he goes, look, do you believe? And he says, Lord, I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Look, I mean, that's a prayer we can say. That's a prayer we can ask him. And what begins to happen is, guess what rises up within us? Our, let me put it this way. It's not that it's not already there. Guess what starts being exposed to us that we can see it so that we can get shed of is what? Unbelief. See, once again, the Lord is faithful. He's showing those areas where yet we don't believe him. We don't trust him. We've been following after the things of the flesh and not after things of the spirit. We've been seeking things out on the earth, not on the things that are above. All right, that's what starts to be getting exposed. Now, that can be hard for us sometimes. I know, that could be hard for us sometimes. And it's so easy to justify ourselves. Oh, man, is it easy to justify ourselves. You know, I could just recall, it's like a skipping stone kind of going through my head where, But Lord, if it wasn't, no. None of those answers suffice. But, sounding like a freaking billy goat, okay? And what does he do to the goats, man? He casts them away, man. He takes in the sheep, doesn't he? All right, but that's what it sounds like. And then I got to come to the knowledge of the truth, man. I got to love and embrace that truth, even though it's right there before me. It's testifying against me. Or it might be testifying against you. All right, but what does the truth do? The truth sets you free. There you go, Angie. I seen you set it back there all quietly and all those kinds of things. But praise God. It sets you free. And see, when you can come to the knowledge of the truth that, man, Lord, I have been seeking after my flesh. I've been seeking earthly things, Lord. Lord, please forgive me. I don't want that. Or, Lord, that is unbelief. That is absolute unbelief. Lord, please forgive me and have mercy on me for not believing you and trusting you in this situation, Lord. All right, and what is it John in the scripture of John says? He says he's what? Faithful and what? And just to what? Forgive us of our sins. So praise God, we see it. And then we can get shed of it. Also says in Peter to what? Cast all your care upon him because he what? Careth for you. And so what do? You cast all that care upon him. You give it to him. You ask the Lord to have mercy on you and to forgive you. And then you choose. This is the next step, okay? Then you choose to what? Believe him and trust him in it. And seek his face. Seek his counsel. All right, now, where was I at? 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Man, it's like two different options here. All right, so do you guys want death? All right, so if we don't want death, okay, let's not be carnally minded. Now, who wants life and peace? Amen. Now I'm getting some amens here. I mean, before the answer was no. Well, we don't want death. I don't want death either. I want life and peace. I just don't want it for myself. I want others to have life and peace, okay? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, that's pretty simple. You're not going to please the Lord with this flesh. You're not going to walk this thing out. You're not going to be, we just talked about in the beginning of the scripture, how Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. And he was, walked it out, what? Perfectly. See, he did it for us. He did it for us. See, you've already sunk in that ship in the sense of you being able to walk it out. I mean, that's already sunk. I mean, that's already gone. You are not going to be able to save yourself. It's not going to happen. Okay? You're just not going to be able to do it. It's all because of what Jesus Christ has done. And now he's given you freedom of that old man and of that carnal mind. And he's given you a what? New mind. And given you his mind. You know, we sing that song, put on the mind of Jesus Christ. And walk in his ways and walk in his ways. I love that song. Because you can do that. How do you do that? You do that by faith. See, you take authority over that old carnal mind. You cast that old carnal mind and you receive his mind by faith. Why can you do this? Because of some great thing that you have done or some great show in the flesh that you have done or in these things? No, it just said you can't please God in the flesh. No, it's been because of what he has done, and the gift that he's given you is just that, that mind of Christ. It's a free gift, and you can have it. You can receive it. It kind of reminds me, you know, when he talks about, when James talks about, if any man lack wisdom, and he said, if any man lack wisdom, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Nothing what? Wavering. No, you ask this thing in faith. You believe him. Nothing doubting. You just believe him for it. Why? Because he's true. He's good. He's faithful. And he wants you to have that. Am I running out of time? And he wants you to have that. So it comes down to what? A choice. Wow. That's pretty simple. I think any of us can make a choice. Any single one of us in this room can make a choice. I mean, I've chosen to put on my socks and shoes this morning instead of flip-flops or just barefoot. It's cold outside. I don't want to put on just flip-flops, even though I've made that dumb choice many times. It's cold, but I'm going to put on my flip-flops because I'm too lazy to put on shoes. Anyways, kind of getting sidetracked there. But, I mean, that's what we do in the spirit, because sometimes it's lazy about this choice. Kind of highlights a point. Praise God. Amen. Oh, Lisa's sitting here with flip-flops on. All right. I really didn't even see that beforehand. It's kind of funny. But anyways, sometimes we're just lazy about this. We're like, we don't even really want to make this choice. We're like, God, He make this choice for me? It's like, man, you're not going to get His attention that way. Well, I hope the Lord gives me that mind of Christ. No, the Lord says, I'm going to give it to you. Well, guess what? I'm going to get up and get it. We need to be like Joseph. Or was it Jacob? Which one wrestled with the Lord? Jacob. We're going to be like Jacob and wrestle with the Lord. Man, you're going to grab a hold of that thing. You're not going to let go. You're going to be serious about it. And you're going to receive it. And you with vengeance are going to take authority over that old carnal mind and stomp them in the ground. You're going to stomp that old carnal mind, because before you can get the mind of Christ, guess what has to come off? That old nasty carnal mind's got to go. It's got to go. Kick his freaking tail. He wants destruction for you. He wants to take you out. He wants to take you down to hell. It is cursed. It's going back to the ground, and it wants to drag your soul with it. I mean, if we can just come to realize that that is our old nasty carnal mind, then we could come to the sense of how much we really need to put that thing down. We really need to put that thing down. It's kind of like having a serial killer in your house. Are you going to just feed them some food and, you know, hey, man, I'm just waiting for you to take me out, you know, whenever you're ready? But that's how we are sometimes with that old carnal mind, is it not? It's so cozy, though. It feels good, you know, as he's like holding you and rubbing you, and there's a big old friggin' survival knife about to come down right upon you. I mean, that's what it is. And then we're like just cozing right up to it. But it feels good. I remember my old youth, and I'd just do anything that felt good. And it was killing me. And it almost killed me a couple times. But if it wasn't for God and His grace, I would be dead right now. I'm telling you. And people not praying for me. But it felt good. But it almost killed you, you dummy. It almost killed you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, we seek not after those things of the flesh. And I highlight that in my life because it's something I can relate to, but there's all kinds of other things. But anyways, let's carry on. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He is none of His. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. That's what it clearly states right here, right? Okay, well, if you're in that place, and I don't believe anybody here is really in that place, but if you're in that place, it could be, I don't know, that's between them and the Lord, guess what you can do? You can ask for it. That's an amazing thing. It's just absolutely amazing that you can ask the Lord that you can have His Spirit. I mean, that is awesome, man. I mean, He's a loving Father. You ask not because you have not. Why? Because you ask amiss to what? Consume it upon your lusts. What is it that you're after? Once again, are you after pleasing the flesh? I mean, the Lord's not going to give you those things that are going to kill you. No, He's good. He's loving. He's faithful. Why would He do that? Would I do that to my children? Give something that's going to kill them? No. And what I mean by that is, look, if he's going to give you something that's going to puff you up in pride and you being about esteeming yourself and trying to show a vainglory in your flesh and to look all big and, you know, almighty and all these things, why would he give you that when it's just going to drag you right down, being in error and pride and iniquity? Why would he do that? He's not. He's not. But look, if you're about glorifying him and you see that yourself, that he counts you as faithful, and see how do you become faithful, is, man, you do those simple things that are there before you to do. He's going to give you those things. He's going to give you more. And it's going to be awesome. I got a few different things going on in my head right now, but let's get back. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brother, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now look, I want to highlight something to you guys. Talks about, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Look, what does that say to do? That is something, look, it's like this. He has given you his Spirit. Okay, he has given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. He has given you the power to do these things. And look, if you don't do them and you don't use them, whose fault is that? That's our own fault. That's not his fault. It's like he's given the power to the church. He's given his power to the church because we're to be his body, to walk as he walked. And if we don't use him, whose fault is that? It comes down to ours. And kind of going back to that old carnal mind is a place. Look, when I was talking about praying, about, you know, putting on that mind of Christ, receiving it, but first casting off that old carnal mind. And I was talking about praying where, you know what also the scripture talks about him actually even giving you the will to do it. Actually, him giving you even the will to do it. You have really nothing to boast on. And you can go to the Lord like that. See, it's actually coming to that place of the truth. And you recognize the truth. Where you yet, you know, that word about prayer was so interesting. It talks about confess your faults to one another that you may be healed, that you may be healed. And it's interesting coming to that knowledge of that truth as you come to that place where you just recognize, you come to the Lord and you go, Lord, I am in blah. I am just going through the motions. My heart's not in it. It's not something I want to do. It's not any of these things. I am struggling with this. I don't want to be in this place anymore, Lord. Lord, please give me the fire to battle these things. Lord, give me the fire to battle against this unbelief. Give me the fire to put this old man down, Lord, that I may receive you, Lord, give me that. I need it, Lord. Right now, I don't even have the will to fight. Look, you can say these prayers to the Lord. You can ask him of these things. You can do that. You can do that. See, he's given us everything we need. And the thing that comes up so much is that, man, we go about our own way for so long thinking that it's the Lord. We think that the way that we're going is the Lord's way. And then these things come up where it's like, man, that's not the Lord's way. Well, guess what? I know one thing. When these things happen, it can kind of be like shell shocking, like boom, like wow. Wow. Man, I am messed up, okay? I am messed up. And, but the thing is the cool thing is that yet you can see them, yet you can recognize them, and then yet you can put them down and then go about doing it, what? His way. And you seek His counsel. See, and it's a beautiful thing. And the thing about it is, however long it took you to get there, I don't care about. More importantly, the Lord doesn't care about. Because if you just come into that place where you are grabbing onto the knowledge of the truth, and you're getting shed of your old ways, and you're coming in putting on His mind and going about what He has you to do, that's a praise the Lord. That's where the Lord is pleased. What pleases the Lord is that you yet just believe Him. I mean, the children of Israel did not enter into the promised land. Why? Because of what? Unbelief. Would not believe Him for anything. And the fact that the ones that that did believe, they wanted to kill. They wanted to kill. And yet they're sitting there telling them that here's the way out. Here, that land is good for our taking. This land is given to us, not because of our own merit or we're special or any of those things. No, it's because the Lord God is merciful and He's good. Man, that's awesome. Man, that's something we can rejoice in. And here we have right there, it's kind of, I look at that new life divine that He has for us like a promised land to us. It's like a promised land to us. And it's like, yes, praise God. But for us to enter into that new life divine, if things come up, you can start having a hard time. Why? Well, because that old carnal man we're hugging up to. And then all of a sudden, it's like we recognize that that's that old carnal man that we hugged up to so long. And it needs to be kicked out, needs to be rooted out for us to be any profit for Him in His kingdom. It's got to go. And see, the beautiful thing about all that is when you go through a struggle, you go through a process where you get that old carnal mind kicked out, is that it gives you some experience to trust the Lord and go forward in, and also to minister what? His goodness. His grace. And see, the thing is, it might not testify of you of any good merit. It might testify of you in so many bad ways where it's like, man, I was this way and I was being ignorant for this long and I was operating some stupid things, but yet the Lord was gracious to me and He preserved me and He saved me anyways. Well, what needs to be magnified to people? Not ourselves. Not how great we are, because we're not. The testimony is, man, I'm a sorry sinner, but the Lord is good and faithful and just. That's what needs to be ministered. And then it's a great testimony for somebody else to grab a hold of and say, you know what? I can have that too, man. I can have that too and not be caught up on the flesh or how you look. Because it's not about your flesh or how you look or how smart you are or how any of these things. It's nothing about that. It's all about Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He is able to accomplish and what He has accomplished. That's what it's about. That's what people need. Just as bad as we need it. And there's nothing that separates us apart from anybody else, any other sinner out there. I don't care who it is. Nothing separates apart between them and us except Jesus Christ. And that is for anybody to have. So don't be magnified. Quit trying to make your flesh to be magnified of how you are somehow great. No, let the Lord reign and let him be magnified of how awesome and gracious he is. And see, yet when we can yet confess our faults, man, we become free of the nonsense of the, oh, I'm just a failure. Oh, I've done so many bad things. We get free of all that nonsense. Because it was, man, I was in a mess. I was screwed up. But Jesus Christ is King and he's Lord and he ruled in my life. And he saved me from my old self. Praise God. Hallelujah. And those things that the enemy tries to come and accuse you of, you go, yeah, that's what Jesus Christ paid for. What does he have to stand? But yet if you're trying to hide those things and justify yourself and all these things, man, it's just bondage to you. I mean, just think about it. That's just bondage to you. Let it be a testimony of how good the Lord is and how he's forgiven you. Amen? Because it's going to be a great ministry to the next person. A great. But if you're too bound up and trying to hide it and cover it, man, you could rob somebody of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. So praise be to God. Let's put that old carnal mind down. Let's not walk after the flesh anymore. Let's receive that new man. Let's receive that new man. Let's receive that mind of Christ. Let's go forward in his victory. He's already done it. So we just got to walk it out. We just got to walk it out. I mean, praise God, man. It's like, look, it's like Jesus Christ whips the enemy's tail. And now we can go run and stomp all over it and pound it in the ground. I mean, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And what do we have the glory in that? We don't. We give the glory to who? Jesus. I mean, praise God. So, man, I don't know about you, but I don't want to sit here and just take that victory in vain and not have any fun with it. I want to have fun with it. And I want to go, I want to have fun with it and go forward in the Lord. And I want the gospel of Jesus Christ to be magnified so that others may have that same opportunity that we have. Same opportunity that we have to be a partaker of what he has. Where he gets magnified, where he gets the glory, and where others come to him. And we get to partake of that, see that, be involved in it. And for us to see that, be a part of it, and be involved in it, we need to humble ourselves and get shed of the pride and all the nonsense and all this garbage. And get shed of all that nonsense. But with that, I'm done. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks for joining us today. May the Lord bless you.